We're community driven, right? Mm-hmm. We're member driven. You're not a, it's not a membership, right?
Today with Ricardo Regalado from Route.
I'm 99% focused on Route. And you guys really didn't look, or I seen the look and you guys are like, wait, not 100%? But then we alluded to
110
like,
is the answer, by the way, that we're looking for.
But what I alluded to was like, I still need to have 1% of my brain power available for Rosalotto, which is my family cleaning business.
Absolutely. Because
that's the only way I'm going to do you justice and the investment and the other investors is by having a pulse of what's going on in the industry. I stay abreast to what is happening because the minute you lose that, I'm just another tech founder that's trying to build technology for an industry that we assume needs it.
We were talking about this with your team before, and this is God's honest truth. I mean, this is the only time Ira and I ever agreed on the first phone call with a founder where we both said, yeah, we're investing.
Welcome to the Founders Journey Podcast. Inspiration, education for founders
by founders.
Welcome back to the Founders Journey Podcast. This is not anything like we normally do. And I'm here with a co-host who is doesn't even willing to be on camera with Ira Grossmeyer filling in for Peter Dean. So Ira and I are actually on site today with Ricardo Regalado from Route, brand new business that Evergreen just invested in, Evergreen Mountain Equity Partners, which is our fund. We just invested. Really amazing story. We've gotten to know Ricardo and his story, and we wanted to kind of make that sort of a special edition today of the podcast. So, Ricardo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Two for two. Ira's first.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I got two first. So, and we're actually, this is like a much, I'll post a picture of where we are right now because this is a way higher class version of anything that we normally do for the podcast. Normally it's, I'm sitting in like my home office with like a laptop in front of me.
So, mi casa es tu casa.
That's right. That's right. I just want to start off. You've got this awesome story about how you got into the cleaning business. Your family started a commercial cleaning business back a while ago. It's become a phenomenally successful commercial cleaning business. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the how it started is my cousin Martin, he had a franchise himself. So it really wasn't a family business ourselves. He had it. It was a franchise, launched it, came to us multiple, years of like the Christmas party, Thanksgiving, Easter. Every get together was, I want to go back to Mexico. I want to sell the business. I want to sell the business. I'm like, I got no idea how to run a business. My wife is a makeup artist. No. After second year, we're like, hey, I'm not happy. Babe, you're not happy. Tony, are you happy? Let's do it. So we took a loan out, all the money we had in the bank, bought his franchise. And that's how we got into the cleaning industry was over 10 years ago. But quickly sold the franchise back to the franchisor.
Yeah.
And we officially started Rosalotto from scratch, zero, in 2015.
So you had the franchise, you sold the franchise back. But there was a story I remember you telling me and Ira about this, right? And kind of one of your real passions behind why you were starting that had to do with your family. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you fast forward to today, I got 24 family members in the business. Right. So obviously family is a big deal for us. I'm 100% Mexican, so we like to do things together. My cousin at the time, he wasn't happy with his career. And he had his wife, Becky, who also, we got introduced, me and my wife, by Becky. Becky was the person who introduced us. That was Tony's wife. And us four wanted to do something together. And we were like, this could be that. We're all good friends. We're best friends. My cousin's 3 months apart. He's like a brother. And we took the plunge together. And that was really what said, hey, why work for corporate if we all love each other and have fun and enjoy and we're like friends? Let's do it together.
Right. So you started this thing. You got 24, like this is the essence of a family business at this point, right? I mean, on the commercial cleaning
family
side.
You got family too.
It gets bigger. I mean, it's wild. Then you went from there and you started Route, which is actually the company that Evergreen invested in. I can honestly say know nothing about commercial cleaning. We can barely clean up after ourselves.
I will teach you how to launch a cleaning company by the end of this conversation.
What do you say, man? We
yeah,
launch a
we're all in.
Risk.
Pandemic. It's gotta be easier than what we're doing. Recession. That's right. It is way, yeah, it's way easier than the tech business. I can tell you that. That's not at all true. So talk about how you then went from, you go from the commercial cleaning business, you go into Route, which is a software company.
Yeah.
What was kind of the genesis there?
Well, I mean, we're from Chicago. It's a very, you know, there's a big tech ecosystem here. And in 2018, I was a part of IHCC. I always give props to Omar, who was the president of IHCC at the time. It's the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. They happen to be on the second floor of two floors where 1871 was. So 1871 is a huge ecosystem. I mean, you got developers, yeah, software companies there, right? It's a thriving community. And my wife, I was at the time complaining about the fact that, you know, we weren't as efficient as I wanted to be. And we, you know, mm-hmm, we were stuck. She's like, Rick, you're always talking about tech and you use all this technology within the business. Go build an app. I was like, okay, I mean, I don't think I can. I am not a developer. And Omar at IHCC said, Rick, there is this upcoming incubator and pitch competition that Capital One is doing with, it's called Catapult. This was the first cohort. He's like, just do it, man. What do you got to lose? I did it. And we are here today. I won the pitch with a bunch of wireframes, $40,000. And the story started in 2019-20.
So what does Route do?
So Route is a platform of business management tools that allows cleaning business owners to connect, grow, and share with their community. We're very community driven. Our motto is, you know, improving the business of cleaning, because software is just one of the things we do. But we are a platform of, you know, education, community, software tools, mentorship, podcast, learning, because there is a lot of facets of the cleaning industry that I learned personally. To build a cleaning company and scale, you need multiple things. Not one thing can get you there. You need a lot. So we're there to help cleaning business owners grow.
Talk more about that. So what are the hard bits about running that business, commercial cleaning business? What's the hard bits and what can Route sort of do to impact that?
So our goal is to, you know, there's different aspects. You got marketing, HR, sales, finance, so many different aspects that at first pen and paper is great. You got the processes down. You got some systems down, right? Everybody talks about processes and systems. Well, what we did is digitize that. And we brought technology together with the pen and paper systems to automate a lot of different things and save you time and money. Something that we used to just say, now we really live it, is like, with Route, we want you to be able to check out at 6 p.m., go home with your family and spend time with your kids.
Yep.
Software allows you to do that because it gives you visibility. So we have three products today, Bid, which is a digital walkthrough tool, and a proposal generator and bidding calculator. So in a nutshell, it's a sales toolkit, which cleaning business owners need in order to grow. It opens up the opportunities to go invest more into your business.
Yep.
Pulse comes in to then manage the day-to-day operations. So think of like clock in and clock out, supply inventory management, your calendar of different jobs and projects, a light CRM where you can manage your location data and client information, and then invoicing and billing, right? So the in-between, right? You won the account, now you got to manage the account. That's Pulse. And then the third piece that we launched recently was Marketplace, which again was another pain point, and it allows a contractor to scale, in my opinion, is scale their business, because subcontracting in our space is the only way you can get into other markets because you're physically not there. A lot of times in the blue collar space in cleaning, you have your city that you operate out of, you live there. You don't really venture out, but you can with Route and with the Marketplace, because now you can post opportunities across the country and allow other smaller local cleaning companies to apply, and you start to scale your business in other markets that normally you would not have had the opportunity to.
Yeah, so I mean, you're actually letting these companies that are typically much smaller than your original cleaning company, right? You're allowing these companies to start to tap into these huge markets, right?
Correct.
So you're really growing those businesses.
Yes, you're growing your business and those, because they don't get a seat at the table sometimes, right? RFPs for a smaller company, it's tough. It was hard for us, but now since we can win an account as a prime, the subs can benefit from winning that business in their local area.
Yep.
That's how the big guys grow.
Yeah, I was going to ask a little bit, talk a little bit more about the customer. So you obviously understand the mid and larger size mm-hmm. businesses, but your route is really an opportunity for small businesses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you deal with the fact that they might not be tech savvy? Yeah. And do you have to really focus on ease of use in addition to the functionality? How do you get people comfortable with this?
Man, that's like the essence of what we've been dealing with right now, right? Is at first you build tech, you think anybody, oh, here, download the app, start right. using tech.
Right. right.
That
right.
was me about yeah. 2.5 years ago. You start to be empathetic on the user experience now, right? Again, I've been yep. there. I started when I was small. So what we wanted to do is make it more simplified for them. Again, most of them are doing a lot of these things already. It's just right. they're not using technology to enhance that system. And if you know our industry, 93% of the cleaning industry in the U.S. is under $1 million in revenue. Why that's so important is under $1 million in revenue, you are still in a growth mindset where
right.
you are still probably doing the walkthroughs. You're most likely the salesperson for the company. You probably have a manager or right. an ops director.
Right.
You have help, but you're still involved. You're running in the day-to-day. With technology, it allows you to take a step back. So what I learned, I implemented in Route. We didn't nail everything, though. We learned a mm-hmm. lot. Again, user experience. We need to still continue to simplify. But we used ourselves as a case study and a lot of other peers that I have to say it works, mm-hmm. right? And right. and this is how you should use it to level up. Because, again, I just said the numbers. It's very fragmented. 7% makes up for 90% of the $90 billion in this right. space. The wrestling guys right. are fighting right. to try to get there.
Right. So I love this concept that you came out of the space, you created a solution to help solve a problem in your own business. Now you can commercialize that. So talk about one of the secret sauce here is that you have this entity, mm-hmm. right? Your family business where yeah. you can test drive what you're doing. So talk yeah. a little bit about how you interact with that yeah. side of your side of your brain and that side of yeah. your business. So
I wanted to give you two some kudos too, because I don't know if you guys remember exactly like our
first. We always take kudos. We love that.
especially with Peter's not here. So we appreciate it. Our first conversation, and it's funny because I said this to a few other VCs, right? And like Karcher, who I told you about, yeah. Slauson, who's our mm-hmm. lead VC. And I bring this up because I told you to is I'm 99% focused on Route. And you guys yeah. really didn't look, or I seen the look and you guys are like, wait, not 100%? But then we alluded to
110
like,
is the yeah, answer, yeah. by the way, that we're looking for.
But what I alluded to was like, I still need to have 1% of my brain power available for Rosalotto, which is right. my family cleaning business.
Absolutely. Because
that's the only way I'm going to do you justice and the investment and the other investors is by having a pulse of what's going on yep. in the industry.
Yeah.
I stay abreast to what is happening because the minute you lose that, I'm just another tech founder that's yeah. trying to build technology for an industry that we assume needs it, but mm-hmm. like, how do they need it? In what capacity do they
yep.
need it?
Actually, we've invested in other companies like that. We've seen that before. And you know, one of the challenges I think you see when people go and they start tech companies, right? They will take an approach where, hey, maybe there's this problem that might occur, but they start building a solution for a problem that may or may not occur, mm. right? And that solution is a tech solution. And what we've seen, several times with companies in our portfolio and others, I mean, CPAL is a great example of this, right? CPAL is yep. a company we invested in a while ago, phenomenally successful staffing business. Samir, who's a great founder, built a phenomenally successful staffing business and then spun out a piece of software that his staffing business became the first customer, right? And they become the constant testing lab yeah. for, you know, for further innovation and things like that. I think it's a brilliant way to start a business because you have an understanding of the problem set in a whole different way, right? Yeah. Than, you know, somebody coming into this, to the space from outside, whatever, right?
Because you were saying, Greg, too, anybody could build software.
Sure. Yeah, anybody. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like that's what we were talking about before we started, right? Like we could come in and Ira and I know how to build software. I mean, I don't know how to write code, but I mean, we know how to get software built, right? We could replicate just about any piece of software, probably give us a couple of weeks. Yeah. That's not the secret sauce, like Ira said, right? That's not the part of this that is actually the important part. I think, you know, I don't know if you're in the way here on and what it says, but this this improving the business of cleaning, right? What what is so interesting to me when you look at this business, I'd love you to just expand on this a little bit. You said before we started this interview that you're not building a software company.
No.
You're building a community.
Yep.
Right? Talk about this. Talk about that, because it's such a radical departure from the way that most software companies kind of think about themselves, right? That tend to be very tech first. Talk about that.
All these metrics are about like users and customer acquisition and this and that. And it's like, for us, it's we're community driven, right? Mm-hmm. We're member driven. It's not a membership, right? But the fact that we're community driven is software happens to be one of the things Route does.
Right.
But what we do is foster a community of individuals that, I mean, I've been at every stage. I'm still looking forward to get to more stages, but everybody in the community, we've got large enterprise, medium, small, mom and pop, sole proprietors. Like there's so many levels that what happens is you try to build for a niche and then the niche adapts, but then they grow out, they graduate, or then you miss the boat on the earlier adopters. By being community driven, we serve the community.
Yeah.
And we meet them where they are, right? They may come into Route and we were talking earlier, like, they're looking for contracts. Awesome. We can assist.
Yep.
You're coming in a Route, you're looking for mentorship. Awesome. Here, we, again, like-minded individuals can assist. So by approaching it that way, a user profile is not a general user persona. It's you are a cleaning business professional or a cleaning business owner in the industry that we have a community of solutions. A solution doesn't have to be technical.
Right.
A solution could also be a connection with somebody else in the industry.
Yeah. Yep. And that community is, I mean, that community, then some of that you're actually monetizing through the software. Most of it you're not, right? Most of it is just about doing the right thing for people in the space.
A lot of people in my industry say I'm the worst salesman for a Route. I do not sell Route. I'm getting better though. I'm getting better. But because I didn't want to lead with the sale, right? It's like we're leading with value first.
Right.
You know, you have to.
You're almost leading with giving back, right? And just giving back to the community over and over again. And I think, you know, you contrast that with the way that a lot of businesses, you know, will start up. You have this piece of tech and then it's, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to get somebody, you know, and you're running Google ads and you're doing things like that. And again, not to say that that stuff doesn't play a role. It obviously certainly does, right? It's a channel. You know, we were talking about this with your team before, and this is God's honest truth. I mean, this is the only time Ira and I ever agreed on the first phone call with a founder where we both said, yeah, we're investing. And we told you, like, that never happens, right? We go to our investment committee, we do things like that. But because the mission is so compelling, right? And that mission of, we're going to take this to market by adding value, we're going to take this to market by community. And eventually that is going to come back to us in the form of people using our software and things like that. But the goal is that value.
Yeah, and you have, it's so compelling because you have this sort of three-legged stool. You've got this direct market knowledge awareness. You lived it. You went through the ups and down, the pain. You built an entity in the industry. You know the industry. You're now plugged into the industry. You're in every major event there is, it sounds like. I don't know how you replicate yourself. You've got a built-in feedback loop, which you shouldn't underestimate the value of that feedback loop, being able to go out, upgrade your solution, and ask your own entity what they think about it. So you've got this built-in feedback loop, and you've got a value-first, community-first approach to bringing people into this family and providing a solution for them. Whatever that solution means, some of that's going to turn into Route customers, for sure. And over time, we firmly believe it's going to grow into a lot. What I think is interesting also is one of the components of your software suite, you've got Bid, which is sort of block and tackle of help me actually respond to an opportunity and create a professional level bid. Even if I'm small, I can look bigger, which I think that in of itself is value. You've got the sort of pulse operating component of it is how do I run my business more efficiently with tech? But then marketplace to me feels like sort of an outgrowth of this community concept. So talk a little bit about, so people who don't understand your industry as much, talk about really what marketplace is doing. Cause I think you're doing something pretty significant in the market there.
No, man, that's my baby right there. That's our differentiator in my opinion. Yeah. With marketplace, the first initial idea was digitized prime and subcontracting. So a lot of people, you know, marketplaces are, I'm not reinventing the wheel. Many exist. Your traditional is, a commercial client needs cleaning services. they would go to the market to find a cleaning company in their area. No problem. There's so much business just with prime and subcontracting, though. Like, primes have contracts that they can't serve in all these rural, smaller local areas. And I've seen it firsthand. So I was like, man, I'd love to just bring that online and allow people to connect and vet each other in a marketplace effect and be fellow contractors. So in our marketplace, you'll see we don't call you a prime or sub. Mm-hmm. You're a contractor. And why? Mm-hmm. Because a small contractor can also be a prime. You can have a contract with a relationship of a client, and they may say to you, hey, Ira, I love how you guys operate here in St. Louis. We're going to DeKalb. Can I still work with you? And maybe you find somebody over there.
Right.
That couldn't be done digitally today, right? There's some networks out there, but that was the first concept of, we're going to bring that to the marketplace. Awesome. I have great relationships with suppliers and manufacturers, and they're like, Rick, man, we've got a problem connecting with the small contractor.
Right.
A team came to one of our events for cleaning and cocktails, and they're like, we asked out of the 130 contractors that were there, 36 of them knew who we were. This is a large industry brand. Mm-hmm. And they were pissed. They're like, how do they not know where to buy our supply or our chemical? And I were like, man, there's an opportunity there. What if we, you can't buy supplies on the marketplace. But what if we're a connector and we can be a conduit of education for, the map, it's all map driven. So a prime can see where a sub is, post a contract, a subcontractor can apply, and you guys do business based on where you are in a map. Same concept of, you now won the contract, you need to buy supplies and you need to buy equipment. Let's have those manufacturing and supplier reps also profiled. So then now that smaller cleaning contractor, who if you ask them, they don't have any of those in their Rolodex on their phone. They're just not big enough. They're not being sought out by the supplier and the manufacturer. So we're going to bring them once again online to connect and grow. Mm-hmm. And then it just continued on. Like now people go to Google and Facebook groups for questions and answers.
Yep.
Not a great place, in my opinion, to go. You don't know who's answering that question.
Right.
We're going to bring the community and their questions and answers and moderate and curate good answers to good questions in the marketplace. And it just keeps going. Like, I mean, now you'll be able to find events on the marketplace in that platform. You'll be able to know what's going on in the industry, right? Let's curate industry knowledge for our industry and our platform. Allow there to be mentorship, coaches. Again, I can go on and on, but it's just, I want to bring it into our ecosystem. The other stuff is supplemental. Those are going to be great tools. If we're the tool for you to use, awesome. If not, guess what? I'll find you other tools. There's other softwares that do some of the things that we're going to be doing. We'll team up and build a great network. Because again, if we're going to do right by the community, we're not the end all be all solution all the time. Let's curate that relationship and really do good by the community.
And you mentioned cleaning a cocktail. So some folks probably don't know what you're talking about. But
Before we even started, he said, this is like the first podcast I've ever done where I'm not drinking.
Right.
Yeah, nothing.
We were highly disappointed.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's like, I'm certainly not averse. I mean, it's like 10:30 in the morning or something. But
nah, so
but that's part of bringing people into the community, how people learn about you. And you've got incredible social presence from what I've seen. So talk a little bit about that part of it.
Cleaning cocktails is fun. It came out of COVID, obviously, right? So right before COVID, it was a speakeasy bar here in Chicago, and it was called the Janitor's Closet. No lie. It was the old Janitor's Closet.
Is it still there?
Nah, they closed down. I'm so pissed. So it was a speakeasy bar. Like when you walk in, it's literally the old janitor closet of the hotel.
Yeah.
So they have a small bar, 6-8 people max. You can't fit more people in there. So I was like, man, because I was doing a walkthrough. I was selling my cleaning services. And I'm like, hey, man, can I do a podcast here? Like it came up right there. It's like, I'm in the middle of
it. Did you even do a podcast at the time?
So we did two.
Okay.
No, we didn't. No, it spawned from me.
So if you walk into this room, you don't have a podcast. No. You walk into this room and it's like, I want to do a podcast.
I'm going to do a podcast because I've seen cocktails and I'm like doing cleaning. And I'm like, man, okay, I'm not saying and just promoting that cocktails is everything. Yeah. But like your guard goes out a little bit when you have a cocktail. You have a beer. You shoot the shit. You're networking.
Yeah.
It's easy to share, right?
And
conversate and network. So I'm like, let's do it. Boom. Two episodes in. I mean, not the greatest episodes. If you guys go back there, it looks okay, not great. COVID happens.
Yeah.
So then it goes to Zoom and like online. And I hated it so much. I'm like, oh, I don't like virtual. There's something about in person that just, I was stuck with it.
Yeah.
So we do the best we can. And that's why we have this studio here is we'll invite cleaning business owners, suppliers, manufacturers, anybody who's a professional to share a cocktail, talk about cleaning. And I give them a spotlight to share their story.
Yep.
And it's really turned into this whole other opportunity to just
fantastic. I think he just said we're not professionals.
No.
Well, I mean, you guys, it's really amazing, right? Because we're sitting here and like you can't see us around us. I mean, there's like tequila with I could say the name of your sponsor.
Oh, yeah, Casa Azul.
Yeah, so Casa Azul bottles all over. But I mean, you're like there's sponsors for this, and like it's a legit operation.
Question is, you know, you got your investors coming in. It's like, is there too much tequila around here?
Oh yeah, you clearly you don't really need to. We'll get to know each other better, and you'll realize how actually ridiculous that statement is. The Ira can certainly attest, but. Last question before we wrap up. Where do you take this business the next few years? What does this business look like?
Yeah.
Where do you want to see this? You know, what do you want to see this business look like over the next 3, 5, 10 years? I mean, what's the long-term vision for what you're building here?
Yeah, man. So ultimately, we want to be a beacon of light for the cleaning industry. And we want to positively impact all those, whether you're small, big, large, you know, on all sides of the business. We want to stay true to what it says behind me, right? It's just improve the business of cleaning. And I don't really say the word disrupt because it's not that I'm trying to disrupt something that's broken. Mm-hmm. It's not broken. This industry is still great, right? But we're enhancing and doing things better to connect. In the last 5 years, it's shown the industry is opening up, connecting, competition is working with each other. And I love seeing what that's done. So I want to take that to the next level, not just in the U.S., but in Mexico, Latin America, Canada, Europe, cleaning is global.
Yeah,
you know what we're building with Route is a global solution, and the community is global. I get a kick and love seeing that. You know, like 2 days ago, a cleaning company from New Zealand sent me a message. A company from Bermuda sent me a message. Like that means that we are doing what we're set out to do is connecting the entire industry.
I'm hoping that founders who are listening to this today like really kind of grab a hold of that message of that building the community, adding value, letting that then return to you, right? And taking the space that companies operate in, regardless of the industry, right? But taking that space and really going out and connecting people and kind of doing that work first, right? Letting it then come back. I think it's an enormously powerful, I mean, it's not only a good thing to do, it's also just a really smart business strategy, right? And getting to know you, I think that that's probably the secondary reason for you. But and if it's not the secondary reason, you're the most like genius sort of master, you know, sales and marketing mastermind I've ever met. And it may be both, right? Yeah. But just being there, being present in that space and being able to be that community, it's so much of it, you know, we were talking about this before, so much of it is very similar to what the way that we think about Evergreen Mountain, right? As a venture firm, yes, we are in the business of making venture investments, but ultimately, you know, what we talk about all the time is we're in the business of actually helping founders, right? Probably less than 1% of the founders that we're interacting with or they're part of the community that we're building called the Founders Collective will ever invest in.
Yeah.
Not because they're not great businesses, just because, you know, we're very specialized in our investment and things like that, but we want to be there to actually be part of that conversation with them and provide the resources. That's why this podcast exists. That's why we're building community. And, you know, that's why our social media presence and things like that are so strong. So it's the exact same model, which I think, you know, really resonated with us the first time we ever spoke. So
I love the way you describe the improving the business of cleaning. And I think that's a takeaway for founders also, like having a North Star. And we talked about this a little bit before, like, you measure every decision against that because you can be pulled in 1,000 directions. So does it improve the business of cleaning? Okay, I'll put some cycles on that. If it doesn't, I've got to move on.
No offense.
It might be very enticing, but you've got a million things you can focus on. So really focusing your energy on that North Star, I think that's just incredibly high value. So love that you're doing that.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. That's it. Ira.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Ira survived his first podcast as a host.
Barely. Peter, watch out. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Peter need my co-host a better Ira's guy in his sights. I didn't even want to sit down. We had to convince him, like Ricardo and I had to sit here and like try to convince Ira to take a seat, but he did it. Yes, questions. It was great.
Oh yeah, we're having fun. Cocktails, cocktails next time.
Next time. All right, that's it for the Founders Journey podcast. We'll see you on the next edition. As always, if you liked it, subscribe, like it, send it out, share it, whatever you want to do. Just spread the love. Thanks. See you next time.